Our next speaker is Elizabeth Libby Richards. Dr. Richards is a distinguished nurse with a background in community health nursing. She received her PhD in health promotion at Purdue University and is currently an associate professor at Purdue University School of Nursing. Libby.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming to our presentations today. I'm going to talk about a recent study in which we examined psychosocial and environmental correlates of dog walking. I'm going to briefly discuss some background information for you, physical activity and public health, summarize some of the current dog walking research, the conceptual framework that was utilized for this study, and then we'll talk about methods, results, and conclusions. So briefly, we have very consistent evidence about the health benefits of physical activity. Active adults have a 30% reduced risk of all-cause mortality, reduced risk of breast cancer, colon cancer, obesity, heart disease, stroke, mental health benefits. We could go on and on. Unfortunately, despite these well-known health benefits, the U.S. has fairly low prevalence rates of being active. In 2003 and 2004, this was objectively assessed with the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, and only about 5% of adults met current physical activity guidelines. So given these well-known health benefits and the low prevalence rates of physical activity, we're seeing an increased focus on promoting moderate intensity and lifestyle activities, such as walking, which is where the dogs come in. As you've heard, 40% of U.S. households own a dog, making this a promising population to increase population levels of physical activity. We do have some studies and some knowledge about influences of dog walking behaviors. However, these studies have not been directed or guided by a health behavior theory, which is one of the additions of my work, which I'm going to talk to you about today. We do have consistent evidence that dog ownership, dog walking, is associated with being active more than non-dog owners and non-dog walkers. This research was guided by social cognitive theory and the social ecological model. Social cognitive theory has been utilized in physical activity research, and there's very strong evidence that walking and physical activity is influenced by the variables that I'm going to discuss, but this theory has not been used for dog walking research. So social cognitive theory states that there's a reciprocal relationship between individual, interpersonal, and behavioral factors. And self-efficacy is the central tenet of social cognitive theory, and self-efficacy is the competence that somebody has that they can achieve a health behavior and overcome barriers to that health behavior. Outcome expectations are the specific outcomes that an individual thinks they'll achieve by making the behavior change, and outcome expectancies are the value that's placed on each of those individual outcomes. Reinforcements and barriers are also important constructs of social cognitive theory that either increase or decrease the occurrence of the health behavior. And social support is the interpersonal layer of social cognitive theory. Social ecological model, it describes health behavior in terms of layers. And so we have an individual level layer, which utilized some of the social cognitive theory constructs, and then an interpersonal social layer. And then it goes broader to the environment. So we also looked at neighborhood environment. To do this, we developed a dogs and walking survey, which we're calling DOGS, the dogs. And this tool is based on social cognitive theory to assess interpersonal and individual correlates of dog walking. And it assesses dog walking behaviors, self-efficacy for dog walking, outcome expectations and outcome expectancies of dog walking, family, friend, and perceptions of dog social support for dog walking, and also reinforcements and barriers. And this tool has been tested and it has been shown to be a reliable and valid instrument. The two primary aims of this study are to examine the individual, interpersonal, and environmental correlates of dog walking among adults, and to also examine the relationship between dog walking and meeting physical activity recommendations via walking among these adults. So let's talk about the methods of this study. Recruitment occurred in May through July of 2010. Participants were recruited via a university email that also asked participants to forward the email to friends and family outside of the university that might be interested to help diversify the sample. Also, two local animal shelters, which was very helpful, utilized their social networking sites and their listservs to recruit participants, and flyers were also distributed locally. A dollar donation was made for each survey completed to the local animal shelters to also help with recruitment. Inclusion criteria for this study was being a dog owner, not necessarily a dog walker, 18 years of age and older. When the sample was collected and we began analysis, there were some exclusion criteria for the analytic sample. Incomplete walking or dog walking data, which were the outcomes, implausible dog walking values, or participants who averaged greater than 4 hours of moderate and vigorous physical activity every day. The independent variables of this study, we utilized the dog survey and other survey measures for this study. So the social cognitive theory constructs came from the dogs, where we looked at self-efficacy for dog walking, outcome expectations and expectancies, social support, barriers and reinforcements. We also assessed dog characteristics such as age, size, and body condition score of the dogs. Yard characteristics such as presence of a yard, size of a yard, presence of a fence, and the ability of the dog to run freely in the yard. Neighborhood dog walking environment, such as presence of dog-related signage, presence of water for the dog, presence of a fence, presence of interesting trails, green space, trees, and shrubs, and also neighborhood walking safety, such as crime and traffic. Covariates included demographics and body mass index, which was based on self-reported height and weight. The two outcome variables of this study are dog walking. Dog walking was assessed as a categorical outcome, and participants were classified as a dog walker if they reported any minutes of dog walking in a typical week. It was also assessed continuously as the weekly minutes of dog walking in a typical week. Physical activity, participants were classified as meeting physical activity recommendations based on two self-report items based on walking from the International Physical Activity Questionnaire, which assessed frequency and duration of walking in a week. And if a participant achieved 150 minutes of walking per week, they were classified as meeting guidelines. Descriptive statistics and logistic regression was used with SAST software. Logistic regression examined the individual, interpersonal, and environmental correlates and associations with dog walking status, and also looked at the associations of dog walking with meeting physical activity guidelines. And then a continuous outcome of the weekly minutes of dog walking was used to look at the hypothesized relationship between individual, interpersonal, and environmental factors with the weekly minutes of dog walking, and we're going to look at some figures with that. So for the results, these four characteristics, I'm only showing the characteristics in which dog walkers and non-dog walkers were significantly different. But overall for the sample, the participants tended to be fairly educated, middle-aged Caucasian females. However, dog walkers were on average 6 years younger than non-dog walkers, were more educated than non-dog walkers, more likely to meet physical activity recommendations, and statistically less likely to be obese than non-dog walkers. When looking at the social cognitive theory constructs that come from the DOGS tool, in a fully adjusted model, we can see that self-efficacy, owner-specific and dog-specific outcome expectations and expectancies, those are the values, as well as perceptions of dog support, family support, and friend support were all significantly associated with being a dog walker. So So to give some perspective to that, if you look at owner expectations, if the participant feels like they dog walking would make their dog happy, dog walking would help their personal health, dog walking would make their mood better, they were twice as likely to walk their dog. Or if you look at dog support, participants who perceived the dog itself as a support mechanism for walking were four times as likely to be a dog walker. When looking at the environment in dog walking status, this shows fully adjusted models, but in an unadjusted model, we saw significant associations with walking environment, dog-specific environment, and presence of sidewalks with an increased odds of being a dog walker, and presence of traffic and crime were significantly associated with a decreased odds of being a dog walker. However, in a fully adjusted model, only the walking environment remains significant. And this is a subscale that included items such as an aesthetically pleasing area, presence of trails, and presence of green space that were associated with being a dog walker. We also had significant associations between the reinforcements and barriers. On the dog survey, there were 14 reinforcement items and 14 barrier items that were created based on expert panels and other qualitative research that has been done. This is showing only the significant associations. So with reinforcements, participants were more likely to be a dog walker if they perceived that they would enhance their personal health, enhance the dog health. The dog would enjoy dog walking. It would maintain the dog's weight, or they had an energetic dog. However, there were some significant barriers which was associated with a decreased odds of being a dog walker. If the dog had poor health, if they had more than one dog to walk, or if they felt that dog walking took away from their personal exercise time. Now this is the structural equation modeling. Now we're looking at the continuous outcome of weekly minutes of dog walking. And so this, we also looked at mediation, so it's a three-step process. This first process is looking at the direct effect of the variables that we've been talking about, the support variables, expectations, the environment, and directly related to weekly minutes of dog walking. The dashed lines indicate a non-significant relationship, and the solid lines indicate a significant relationship with the beta weights portrayed. So friend support, dog-specific expectancies were all positively significantly associated with weekly minutes of dog walking, whereas presence of a yard and being classified as overweight or obese were statistically negatively associated with weekly minutes of dog walking. So after we have the initial direct effects of the model, we can begin to look at self-efficacy as a mediator. So we see now that we have self-efficacy, which is strongly directly associated with dog walking, and also the variables that were previously directly associated with weekly minutes of dog walking are now also directly associated with self-efficacy, which is part of the mediation testing. And in this figure, you can see friend support, dog-specific expectancies, all related to self-efficacy for dog walking. Presence of a yard has a significant negative association with self-efficacy for dog walking, and then self-efficacy itself is also associated with weekly minutes of dog walking. The two variables that you see on the left, the making time and the resisting relapse, these are factors of self-efficacy that came out when doing testing of the dog's survey, which is theoretically consistent with self-efficacy scale. So making time and resisting relapse are come together to form one self-efficacy scale. So this shows the final model in which self-efficacy is acting as a mediator in the presence of the other significant variables. And so we can see by the dashed lines that are now going to dog walking that friend support, presence of a yard, and dog-specific expectancies were all fully mediated by self-efficacy. because they maintain significant relationships with self-efficacy, but those lines now going to the weekly minutes of dog walking are dashed, meaning that in the presence of self-efficacy, those relationships are no longer significant. Dog support, however, was only partially mediated by self-efficacy because dog support is still has a significant relationship going to dog walking, but that relationship has been weakened. We also looked at dog walking and meeting physical activity guidelines. And across the board, in unadjusted, age-adjusted, and fully adjusted models, dog walkers were more likely to meet physical activity guidelines than non-dog owners, almost three times more likely. And we didn't see any attenuation of effects throughout those models. And also when we looked at a unit statement, so every 30 minutes of dog walking was associated with a 24% increase in meeting physical activity recommendations. So for conclusion, we see that several social cognitive theory and environmental measures that were developed specifically for dog walking are significant correlates of dog walking, and these variables were theoretically consistent with other physical activity research. Also, dog walkers were significantly more likely to meet physical activity guidelines than non-dog walkers, even after adjusting for covariates that we know influence physical activity. So what does this all mean? So the take-home messages are social cognitive theory appears to be a promising framework for this area of research. Also, continuing to utilize the dog's tool is an area that can continue to look at dog walking. In addition, interventions should focus on the significant individual, interpersonal, and environmental correlates that we found with this study. Dog walking also appears to be a viable option for promoting physical activity among dog owners. However, we do need to have more research in diverse populations. So I'd like to thank you, and as we earlier stated, we'll take questions at the end. Thank you.